Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone. Thanks for joining in. This is your host, Trish McKnight, and we are tuning in. No video feed today. I do apologize. Just running a little behind, having some problems this morning, now my promote button won't go out. So we will just send this out real quick. Welcome. It is Your Voice Radio Network. I am Trish McKnight with your show, Topics with Trish, and I want to welcome everyone to the show. It is Tuesday, March 14th. Spring is quickly getting here, although you wouldn't think it by the weather we've been seeing across the country. Our hearts and prayers go out to those for everyone's safety from Pittsburgh on, actually from Chicago on, where they got massive snow dumps, and the Northeast is being hit now. Stay in your house. If you don't have to go out, don't go out. I understand sometimes these things are unavoidable, and I'm sure all the stores are out of milk and bread and the staples. So just hoping that everyone's okay out there. I sent out a link this morning as to what we were going to be discussing on today's show. We have been hearing a lot about the human rights issues, especially with the international travel ban. Anyone with an American visa, anyone who is a U.S. citizen should absolutely be allowed back into this country. They shouldn't be harassed. They shouldn't be subject to illegal search and seizures. I know that our borders are tight. There's a reason for that. But we cannot just open up our doors and say, okay, everyone, come on over. You know, even those who are going to do us harm, those who have families already living on government programs, going to bring five more of their families members to live on government programs. I'm sorry. At some point, we have to take care of our own. I don't agree with everything that's going on, but most definitely I agree that we have always taken care of other countries in their time of need. We have sent billions and billions and billions of dollars into these other foreign countries. We've gone to fight wars, which we had no reason being there. But yet our soldiers, hey, they sign a contract. They have to go where they have to go. They have to do what they're told to do. They come back. They're all messed up from it. You know, I am a huge supporter of our military services and their families. They're here for a reason. Our police are on our streets for a reason. And of that, it is their job to uphold every American citizen's and every person who's working to become a U.S. citizen. We have a duty to uphold the protection of equal human rights for each and every person, regardless of age, gender, color of skin, practice of religion, and economic status, geographical status, regardless, we have to make sure that we are protecting America before we go chasing what's happening around the world. Our country is in serious, dire straits, and we have to make that decision. It's a tough decision to make, but right now I think it is a priority decision to make. We're going to talk about our human rights. We are going to talk also about what makes a bully. You know, school's getting ready to get out. A few more months, school will be done. Your kids will be whatever they're doing for the summer, depending on how old they are. But, you know, what if they live in a small town? What if their bully lives in the same apartment building as they do? What if a bully, and chances are that at least one of the children in the many apartment buildings and trailer courts and housing communities and, you know, little rural towns, there is always at least one bully. You can absolutely take that to the bank. So we're going to talk about what makes a bully. We are also going to talk about the effects of latchkey kids, because with summer approaching, there is a huge problem that's going to be hitting our kids, and that is the problem with being a latchkey child. You know, as our economic status calls right, you know, requires right now, you know, in order to be able to pay rent or pay a mortgage, in order to feed your family, in order to have the cell phones that we need, and in order to have the vehicles that we need, you know, and pay our insurance premiums and pay our taxes, absolutely it takes two people working, at least two people working in every household. And that makes it tough, especially for single parents, who's there to watch the kids. You know, if you have two parents in a home, if both parents are working day shift, who's there for the kids? How are they getting dinner? Who's sitting down and teaching them about online safety? And who's teaching them appropriate interpersonal skills? And who's teaching them how to respect others and to know the human rights of others? We are going to put all of this together over the next 45 minutes. Before we get started, of course, welcome. This is Your Voice Radio Network. Give me a call live, 929-477-2779. If you've got any input that you would like to share on this topic, I pulled up quite a few different pertaining articles that I was able to, those which I thought were going to be most helpful. And I wanted to, as we go through our discussions, we will go through each and every appropriate document that I was able to find. Remember that Your Voice Radio Network is compiled for your voice. We have various hosts from different parts of the country. I'm out here. I was born and raised in rural communities. I lived out in a little suburb about 20 minutes outside of Pittsburgh for some 13 or 14 years. You know, this is how it happens when, you know, you grow up, you know the environment of what you live in. So I may not know much about what happens within the inner city areas. However, I know very well exactly what happens within rural communities. We have other people, other hosts who have some, years in their background. All of us are advocates. All of us are for the safety, welfare, and health of our families. All of us speak out for injustices of all types. This is our focus. Our human society is our focus, and how to come together as a community, how to come together as a family unit is our driven focus, protecting our children, those who are most vulnerable within every society and within every home. Because once we don't know what happens when that door closes. So we kind of have to be aware of what the reported numbers are, and then come together as a community in hopes that we can encourage earlier intervention, health, safety, wellness throughout our communities, within our schools, equal justice throughout our justice system, and the equal rights to living a full life and a happy life with a quality education for each and every individual within the United States of America. We cannot speak for other countries. We cannot force them to provide those things, but we can absolutely insist as a united society here in America that they do their job and they do it well. You, if you are listening to any of our shows and you are in another country, which we do have listeners from Canada and the UK and Africa and Spain, France, and even down in Southern America through Colombia, and I believe I've seen one also from Brazil. So we have a huge varying degree of listeners out there, which is fabulous. Your Voice Radio has built up a listening base of more than 45,000 listens, and we've only got almost just a little over 200 shows that have been broadcasted through our network. So, you know, welcome everyone again. Topics with Trish for your Tuesday, March 14th, 10 a.m. Central Time. Unfortunately, we do not have the live video feed today, but please, I hope you're listening in through any internet device. Give me a call here and share your voice, share your opinions, share your thoughts. Join our Facebook radio group at facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. All right, let's get started here. Now, I was doing research on human rights, and I've been researching human rights and the actual formation of human rights for probably 5 years now. And I first found, you know, of course, we have the constitutional rights and we have the civil liberties of rights in the U.S. However, as I was doing research for human rights today, you know, I typed in human rights in America, and the United States, as it quotes here, the protection of fundamental human rights was a foundation stone in the establishment of the United States over 200 years ago. Since then, a central goal of U.S. foreign policy has been the promotion of respect for human rights as embodied in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The United States understands that the existence of human rights helps secure the peace, deter aggression, promote the rule of law, combat crime and corruption, strengthen democracies, and prevent humanitarian crises. Because the promotion of human rights is an important national interest, the United States seeks to hold governments accountable to their obligations under universal human rights norms, promote greater respect for human rights, including freedom from torture, freedom of expression, press freedom, women's rights, children's rights, and the protection of minorities. The U.S. seeks to promote the rule of law, seek accountability, and change cultures of impunity, assist efforts to reform and strengthen the institutional capacity of the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and the UN Commission on Human Rights, and coordinate human rights activities with important allies, including Europe and the regional the European Union and the regional organizations. There are three key principles towards the work of human rights, and this is from the Democracy of Rights and Labor. The DRL strives to learn the truth and state the facts in all of its human rights investigations, from country conditions, speeches, votes at the UN, and asylum profiles. They submit to Congress a 5,000-page report on human rights conditions in over 190 countries that is respected globally for its objectivity and accuracy. Second, they take consistent positions concerning past, present, and future abuses. With regard to past abuses, it actively promotes accountability. Stop ongoing abuses. The Bureau uses an inside-outside approach that combines vigorous external focus on human rights concerns with equally robust support for internal reform. Third, they are there to forge and maintain partnerships with organizations, governments, and multilateral institutions committed to the human rights of our human society. In this, they get involved and work directly to provide significant technical, financial, or staff support for U.S. delegations to annual meetings, international human rights organizations, regular consultations with Native American tribes, and serves as the Secretary's principal advisor on international indigenous rights issues, maintains relations with UN High Commissioner, and supports the creation of effective multilateral human rights mechanisms. Now, we see a lot of involvement within the United States to back up the human rights as listed in the Declaration, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. However, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and you can find this at www.un.org, Universal Declaration of Human Rights. There you will find both the preamble and the articles which outline the exactly what the Declaration of Human Rights is. Now, in 1948, Eleanor Roosevelt was part of the committee that drafted and wrote into law these articles. But since the U.S. is not a member of the Hague Treaty, they follow this as a practicing format, but there can also be questions in exactly what is and what is not justifiable in the U.S. However, we thrive as a country to be a leader in the human rights movements. So what exactly is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? You know, this, as I said, was written into law in 1948. The preamble gives recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family. In and of that, the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. That, if we can all go by that, and taking into effect that this was started back in 1948, we would not have the question and the battle that led to the United States civil rights problems in getting and considering people of color, African Americans, who, you know, and even Native Americans who had been circled up, put in a certain location, told this is where you stay, you don't have rights to our schools, you don't have rights to our education, you don't have rights to our funding, you don't have equal rights in our justice system, and we are going to beat you down and wear you out because we are the immigrants to America, and we're going to take over the country as a white society. And in many forms, we have done a lot of things wrong. If we're going to move forward as a country, and if we are going to build united together to make a stronger America, then we have to break down these barriers, and we have to consider that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is absolutely the foundation for each and every member of the human family, period. You may have additional benefits by living in the United States, but you should not be any less equal or any less deserving just because we are not part of the Hague Treaty or because we have our own constitution. Many other governments have their own constitutions, have their own rules of law. Many other governments respect and protect the rights of its citizens. If we cannot see each other as equal and deserving, and that we need to come together on this, then what kind of world are we giving our children to move forward with? So I'm going to go over, these are the laws that I focused on the most, because whenever I am doing anything, whether it is about passing laws and protecting equal policies and equal justice, it is absolutely a necessity that we consider each and every person within the human family an equal member deserving of freedom, justice, and I forgot, and peace. Pardon me, sorry. So, article number one, and it starts right off. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Article 2. Everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration, without distinction of any kind, such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. Furthermore, no distinction shall be made on the basis of the political, jurisdictional, or international status of the country or territory to which a person belongs, whether it be independent, trust, non-self-governing, or under any other limitation or sovereignty. Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. No one shall be held in slavery or servitude. Slavery and the slave trade shall be prohibited in all their forms. No one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. Everyone has the right to recognition everywhere as a person before the law. All are equal before the law and are entitled without any discrimination to equal protection of the law. All are entitled to equal protection against any discrimination in violation of this declaration and against any incitement to such discrimination. Everyone has the right to an effective remedy by the competent national tribunals for acts violating the fundamental rights granted him by the Constitution or by law. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Everyone is entitled in full equality to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal in the determination of his rights and obligations and of any criminal charge against him. everyone charged with a penal offense has the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty according to law. No one shall be held guilty of any penal offense on account of any act or commission which did not constitute a penal offense. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, his family, his home, or correspondence, nor to attacks upon his honor and reputation. Everyone has the right to freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each state. Everyone has the right to leave any country, including his own, and to return to his country. Everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. The right may not be invoked in the case of prosecutions generally arising from non-political crimes. Everyone has the right to a nationality. Men and women of full age without any limitation due to race, nationality, or religion have the right to marry and to found a family. They are entitled to equal rights as to marriage, during marriage, and its dissolution. Everyone has the right to own property alone as well as in association with others. Everyone has the freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. Everyone has the right to freedom of peaceful assembly and association. Everyone has the right to take part in the government of his country, directly or through freely chosen representatives. Everyone has the right to Social Security and is entitled to realization through national effort and international cooperation. Everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to just and favorable conditions of work, and to protection against unemployment. Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodic holidays with pay. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and his family. Everyone has the right to education. Education shall be free, at least in the elementary and fundamental stages. Everyone has the right freely to participate in the cultural life of the community, to enjoy the arts, and to share in scientific advancement. Everyone is entitled to a social and international order in which the rights and freedoms set forth are fully recognized. Everyone has duties to the community in which alone the free and full development of his personality is possible. Nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state person any right to engage in any activity or to perform any act aimed at the destruction of any of the rights and freedoms set forth herein. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share this within our Facebook radio group. I think it's crucial for everyone to be able to read through this and know that these are your absolute Declaration of Human Rights, and that even the United States recognizes these rights. This, the actual writing of the United Universal Declaration of Human Rights, was created based upon the actual founding purpose for the United States. So we have to make sure that when we are defending human rights, that we are recognizing all persons of the human family, period. Now, we we in America do not have any right to go into any other country being asked and without the United Nations support. If we go in and we send our warriors off, we are then invading their country. You know, why did we go over and protect the oil fields in Kuwait? You know, was it a universal decision for us to do that? Or was it an American decision to do that? I believe in equal rights for all human beings. I believe in justice. I believe in freedom. I believe in the right to be who we are. I think it's absolutely necessary for each and every person to grow and develop within their community, within their school, to have that freedom of education, the freedom of knowledge, the freedom of being able to be represented fully and heard without bias, that we should absolutely give them a cause so that they can grow up strong, that they can be who they truly want to be, that they can create and form their own ideas, that they have the ability to share those ideas without being offensive or harmful to others. We've always taught our kids that words don't hurt. So if no one is actually hurting you, do you have a right to fill up our justice system with verbal accusations? Without any hard evidence, without any injuries, without any, you know, what is it that we are doing to our kids when we, I'm trying to share this and I don't know where, pardon me, I'm sorry, I'm scrolling and talking at the same time. You know, we have a duty to protect and uphold the human rights as a human family. Sorry about that. I don't know if anybody could hear that in the background. I apologize for the dead air. I am trying to get this in our Facebook radio group for anyone who is interested. I think it's necessary. This is what our kids should be learning when they are learning about human rights in our society. Now, it's been a long time since I've been in school. So if you have a kid who's in school who is learning about human rights and the protection of human rights and what it really means to speak up for human rights, please give me a call here at the studio. You can catch me at 477-2779, where I'm really having a lot of these blank spots today. I apologize. Like I said, I'm off my game today. It's just some difficulties I've been having lately. But today I definitely am not as prepared as what I normally am. Thus, why we are not having live video feed today. But, you know, make sure that your kids are knowing what the human rights are and that they are defending the human rights and speaking for the human rights as intended, as drafted into law back in 1948, as Eleanor Roosevelt and many other great leaders sat at that table and determined that this was the best way moving forward to protect the equality, the freedom, the justice, and the peace for each and every one of us, regardless of what country we live in, that no one shall be held in slavery or bondage, that everyone have right to a free education, and that each and every one of us are presumed innocent until proven guilty. That means either, you know, through evidence, hard evidence. You know, I mean, here lately, DNA is such a standard thing, okay? And more people are being exonerated through DNA. So if you commit a crime, such as a violent offense towards a particular person, or if you commit a crime against a child, there should be DNA evidence that ties you to that offense. There should be statements by law enforcement, school counselors, children youth services, child protective services, Department of Health and Human Services, whatever it is in your state, because I know each and every state is different. Oftentimes we think that human rights is something that we don't recognize in the United States, that we have our Constitution, we have our civil liberties, you know, and that is very, very true. But how can we say that the United States pushes the equality and the formation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in other countries, but doesn't honor it itself? You may have more benefits in being an American, but it does not mean that you should have any less benefits as being an American. You should be protected regardless of where you go and where you live, any race, gender, age, religion, geographic, economic status is off the board whenever we are talking about an act of harm. Let's go ahead and move forward. We got about 20 minutes, and we are going to now move on to Psych Central. I wanted to look up what makes a bully. All of us talk about a bully, and we all have kids who experience bullying, okay? And we talk about the effects of bullying on its victims, you know, when a kid is being bullied all the time. And we have heard way too often about that 9, 10, 12-year-old child who takes their life, you know, swinging from a belt or swinging from a rope or swinging by hanging themselves, by cutting their wrists, by doing something to harm themselves. And then they are the ones being pushed into therapy. They are the ones being admitted into psych wards for self-harm. They are the ones who are being watched. Whoever the bully is out there, just moving on to the next victim, because they are happy as can be that they have brought that one person down to where they needed to be. They are moving onward. They are on to the next person, and they will not stop, not until we start taking a look at what makes a bully. And I brought up, I did some research, and of course most organizations and most research is about, you know, bullying and the effects of bullying on its victims. So I found an article through Psych Central, How a Bully is Made, and this was published, I believe. This is actually one person's account of her son's actual progression into becoming a bully. She is a psychology writer and a researcher, and you know, the more that she did her work, the more that she began to understand the contributing factors as to why, what might have led to her son's, her own son's, bullying behavior. So we are going to go over this article, and I hope to go on to the Latchkey Kids. So I want to go through this rather quickly because I got on the human rights thing. It starts off when my oldest son, Alex, was 14. He turned into a bully. It started at home. He would act mean toward his younger brother, teasing him relentlessly, pushing, hitting, and scheming to get him in trouble. Later, I found out that he had hooked up with some other boys in the neighborhood, and they, as a gang, had been bullying younger kids. Here's how I heard Alex describe one such time. The confession came at a wilderness therapy program we had sent him to. I was present for a parenting meeting at the end of the program. This is her son's statement. I stole 7 bikes and gave them to my guys to buy our pot. Oh, and one time I threw a little kid off his bike and took it from him. Then we all laughed at him crying on the ground. How in the world had my sweet, once shy and introspective firstborn child become this monster? At one time, of course, psychologists attributed children's aggression to their high levels of frustration. And although feeling blocked from having or doing what one wants can lead to aggressive behavior, further study has shown frustration to be further down the list of causes. Physical punishment is the number one reason that makes a bully. Parents who use harsh physical punishment is definitely correlated with children's aggressive behavior. In 1991 study, peers and teachers rated spanked children twice as aggressive compared with other children. At the same time, not all spanked children are overly aggressive. When looking at the research, you know, they can break this down to be in 2010, the study stood out from others done previously in that investigators accounted for variables, including the mother's act of neglect, use of alcohol or drugs, and violence or aggression between the parents. Reason number two that makes a bully, watching aggressive behavior in adults. Some of the aggressive children in this study were not physically punished. Parents who simply modeled aggressive behavior in front of their children also produced more aggressive children. Violent television is listed as number three. Typical children's cartoon shows on average one violent act every 3 minutes. Many young children and teenagers spend more hours watching TV than they do at school. There are many correlations and some experimental studies linking children's viewing of violent television programs with spikes in aggressive behavior. Number four, problems with processing emotions. In 1990, when they started to investigate whether cognitive deficiencies might contribute to a child's level of aggressive behavior, the work revealed that aggressive boys often respond aggressively because they are not as skilled as their peers in reading other people. They fail to accurately interpret other people's intentions, and when they're unsure of why someone does something or looks at them a certain way, they tend to respond aggressively. Now, I have a problem with that statement because it's not just boys, it's boys and girls alike. We've learned that from 1990 to 2017. It's boys and girls equally, and sometimes girls can be a heck of a lot meaner than boys can be. Girls are emotionally mean. They may not be physically mean, but they are emotionally mean. They are brutally cruel in from everything to, teasing another girl about being overweight or the color of her hair, the color of her eyes, teasing boys about the different body shapes. Everyone's got a different body shape. Not all of us are, 5 foot tall and bulletproof or 10 foot tall and brittle, depending on how you want to look at it. The biggest problem with creating a bully is the responsibility of parents in leading their children to, number one, respect the decency and human rights of each and every person, to have empathy for another person's situation. Abuse kids often interpret things incorrectly. They perceive threats when there actually is not a threat. So a kid who's been physically abused or emotionally beaten down, or even a latchkey kid that has no one around to teach them any different or tell them that these behaviors are wrong, even one of those kids can absolutely become a bully. So there are no set, formidable set in stone paths to becoming a bully. Some of them, yeah, maybe it is a mental illness. Maybe it is a psychological defect. But more often than not, it is the behaviors that you are taught and the behaviors reinforced by what you witness in your home, in your community, within your school, and how other people treat you. That is the basis for becoming a bully, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I will go ahead and get this article also over to our radio group. Very, very, very critical information. What? Creating a bully. All right, moving forward, we want to talk about the effects on children of being a latchkey kid. As I said, summer is almost here. School is almost done. Those kids who are young, even teenagers, teenagers are very, very spontaneous. And if no one is there teaching them about the rights and wrongs of our society, the rights and wrongs of their behaviors, the legal and illegal of their behaviors, the respect towards other people, if they are not getting that, then chances are, where are they going to learn it if they don't learn it at home and in their community, if they don't see it, on television, in the news? All they see across the country are these riots and these assemblies and these, oh, my goodness gracious, I get it. Yes, we all want free speech. Yes, I get it that, some issues are really, really critical, but I stand on the firm defense that, we need to get ourselves in check. And by ourselves getting in check, I mean as parents, as families, as human beings, we need to get ourselves in check. How you treat other people is what kids are going to see about you. So you can either be really, really good to other people, or you can be a huge pain in the butt to other people. But that's what your kids are going to see. and how people treat them. You know, that's what they're going to perceive. So if they are alone all the time, if they are fixing their own dinner all the time, if they have no one to sit and eat with them, if they are the one in charge of taking care of younger siblings, if they are the ones who don't, you know, have anyone gearing them towards taking care of that homework every day and progressing through their education, if they don't have your guidance, how in the world are they supposed to truly achieve being who they are? And who can you get to step in? What are some other resources that you can pull from? If your kids need someone, single parents, there are resources out there. Look for volunteer services such as Big Brother, Big Sister programs, the YMCA, the after-school programs, tutoring programs. Look for neighbors on the street who are allowing the kids to come to one home until you get home from work. You know, I think that that would be a great idea. Everybody chip in some after-school food and let the kids come to one home. So at least there is one apartment or one home that they can go to, or one center that they can go to, instead of sitting there alone, seeing what's going on online, and then having to determine from what their body is rushing into and what their thoughts are developing into by what is happening online or on the violent video games or on the violent, television shows. Forgive me. All right, so the effects of children of being latchkey kids. The effects of being a latchkey kid differ with age. There is loneliness, there is boredom and fear. These are the most common for those younger than 10 years of age. A child younger than 10 years of age should never be home alone. In early teens, there is a greater susceptibility to peer pressure, such as alcohol use, drug abuse, sexual promiscuity, and smoking. Adaptations to difficult situations, socioeconomic status, and length of time left alone can bring forth other negative effects. In one study, middle school students left home alone for more than 3 hours a day reported higher levels of behavioral problems, higher rates of depression, and lower levels of self-esteem than any other students. Children from lower-income families are associated with greater externalizing issues, conduct disorders, hyperactivity, and academic problems, while children from middle-class and upper-class are no different to their supervised peers. I don't believe that. Now, there are key skills that they say, you know the attitudes and behaviors of each child's friends. Praise children honestly and openly for meeting their self-care responsibilities. Post work and emergency telephone numbers. Encourage siblings to respect and communicate with each other. Have regular family meetings. Allow each child to offer her or his input concerning family matters. Expand the family support system to include trusted friends, relatives, and neighbors who can assist in supervising or be available if the children need them. Teach children how to use the phone and lock the doors. List police, fire department, and other important phone numbers. Walk through the routine with the child. Some have been given keys to the house and they can't reach the lock. Don't let the child display a key in public. It's a sure sign he spends time alone. Instruct children to tell callers that the parent is busy rather than to indicate they are home alone. Structure activities such as an art project, a treasure hunt, or other at-home games. Arrange for the child to spend some afternoons with friends to break the monotony of being alone. Consult with police and fire officials to burglar-proof and fireproof your home as much as possible. Get a pet. They definitely help comfort the child. Teach children that independence and resourcefulness are virtues, but don't overload the circuits. Leave them alone too young or too long and give them too many responsibilities. Let them voice their fears. Again, another article I want to get out there for everyone. We are down to the last 4 minutes of our show. I want to thank everyone, for joining us here for all of our Your Voice Radio broadcast shows. There's a lot we can do within the community just by working together that initiates our kids learning about the respect for human rights, how to prevent them becoming a bully, and how to teach them to be on their own. And to respect their siblings and to maintain their own responsibilities and their own self-care. It does make them better adults and more resourceful human beings. But don't abandon them and give them a key and say, go for it. And, I respect a law that says no child under 13 should be home alone. They don't have the skills. They can't cook. Running an open fire, maybe they can't reach the microwave. Then it's your job as a parent, make sure you have snacks. I like the idea of creating one community place, one neighborhood place that all the kids check in with. Maybe they don't have to stay there all day, but for at least an hour until they calm down after school before they head on home. All right. So, getting this article out there as well in our radio group. As I sign off of the program today, I think we are going to send the day out with a fabulous song. I want to listen in to Michael Skinner and Brush Away Your Tears. Remember, you can find his music at michaelskinnermusic.com. I hope that everyone's enjoyed the show. I hope that you have gained something from this broadcast, that you can involve people within your community and within your home. Take care, everyone, and have a great day. God bless. Be safe out there. Peace out.
your fears. I love your pain. I love your shame. The world don't wanna know. 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 Someday the world will understand, and then they'll hold out their hand. So then you must be strong and find a way to carry on. Push away your tears. Push away your tears. Push away your tears. Push away your tears.